welcome back to the What the Fork Sunderland preview show ahead of this weekend's game with West Bromwich Albion. A slightly morale-boosting 0-0 draw with Leeds United on Tuesday has lifted the mood a little. However, as we do head to the Hawthorns, I believe almost a year, if not exactly a year to the day since our last visit, the end to this season couldn't be more in contrast to last. But, the preview show, it does go on. We have to still do it. We are here, and I'm delighted to be joined by Albion analysis man Chris Hall to the show. How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, so we're still to play Rotherham this evening. So my answer to that question could be extremely different in a few hours' time.
I'm not going to tempt fate. I was going to say it's before the game against Rotherham tonight, which on paper should be a win, but games aren't played on paper. So we'll look at the last result, which was last weekend, the 2-2 draw with Stoke. For those unaware, you were 2-0 up with about 21 minutes to go. Ended up 2-2. How do you reflect on the performance now you've had a couple of days?
It's a funny one, really, because we didn't deserve to be 2-0 up. And if you just look over the course of the piece and the balance of play and everything like that, my dog's going ballistic and scratching the carpet. But if you looked over the balance of play, you would say, well, we probably should have been 2-0 down, not 2-0 up. So it wasn't a terrible result from that point of view. But when you're 2-0 up in any game, you feel like you chuck it away to some degree at least. And we did. I mean, the first goal from them is okay, but the second one is just, I don't know what Jan and Veer is doing with that challenge. To basically take the guy off at the neck and bring him down for a penalty. So it's kind of felt like two points dropped. But then, and especially when you get in and you find that bloody Coventry have gone to Leeds and won and stuff like that. You know, it doesn't exactly help your mood, but last night did. Coventry went to Southampton and lost. Norwich did what we did at the weekend and chucked away a two-goal lead at Sheffield Wednesday. So, you know, as you say, we're recording before the Rotherham game, but if we can go and beat Rotherham at home tonight, we find ourselves in a really strong position. And I mean, we are, it's got to be said as well, we are 9 unbeaten. We're not playing very well. But we aren't. We've 3 draws on the spin. I think we are at the moment. Yeah, 3 draws on the spin. So we're not playing fantastically, but we are 9 unbeaten, which is our best unbeaten record since 2019.
I think when you look at, because I was going to say that, you look at West Brom's form, and you can spin it both ways. You can go 9 unbeaten, or you can go 3 draws in a row, 2 of them 2-2. You just chucked away a 2-goal lead. But you're also like unbeaten in 9 games, and there's been wins in there, 4-1 win against Huddersfield, who we've lost to twice this season. So suppose the question to ask rather than how is the form, because you can look at it either way, really. How happy or / unhappy are you with the recent form?
I think to rephrase your own question, but I would suggest the better question is how happy or unhappy are you with the performances? And I think the answer would be not terribly happy, because I think we dominated the game against Bristol City, which was 4 games ago. We were brilliant in the second half against Huddersfield. But when you actually sort of look at the other six games as a whole, QPR, we got battered in at points in that game. I honestly, again, it was another game we led and ended up drawing 2-2. But to be honest, we did very well to get away. I mean, Cedric Kipre's punched the ball off the line. That's how we've got a point out of that one. Huddersfield, we got destroyed in the first half and then destroyed them in the second half. Unfortunately for us, when we're doing the destroying, we're a lot more potent than they are when they're doing the destroying. So that's why we won 4-1. And as I say, Bristol City, we played very well, but Millwall, we were terrible and very lucky to get a point. Watford, we were largely awful until we were 2-0 down and we made a bunch of substitutions in and around the 70th minute and we played a lot better. And Stoke really did take us to the cleaners first half, but they couldn't finish their breakfast and we took the one chance that we had and then grabbed another one at the start of the second half, where we were on top, to be fair. But we're playing okay in portions of games, but where we've made a real season out of it, I mean, we've got the most clean sheets in the league, is controlling games. You know, the thing with Albion generally is, if you go 1-0 down to us, you might as well just pack up your bags and go home, because we don't concede a lot of goals, we don't give up a lot of chances, and we've just been that dominant when we've gone ahead. Yet we've thrown away a 2-goal lead against Stoke. We threw away a lead against, or we got a lead pegged back against QPR. We got a lead pegged back against Ipswich. And we've conceded 2, 2, and 1 in our last three games, you know, and 2 at QPR. We just don't seem to have the same level of control in games that we had earlier in the season, and it's a little bit of a worry, if I'm honest.
Yeah, because momentum's a big thing, I think, especially when you're looking at playoffs. Everyone talks about that momentum going into the playoffs, which, you know, there's a reason for that, I guess. But talking of the playoffs, oh God, I remember that thing. I'm pretty certain, I haven't checked this, I haven't Googled it, I probably could, but I'm not going to. I think it's a year to the day exactly that we beat you 2-1 on the Sunday. Now, looking back to that game, that was so significant in our season and where we ended up going. Yeah, massively, absolutely. I think we won it and went, hang on a minute, you lost it and went, nah, not happening. Now, there's a 6-point cushion at the time of speaking, could be a 9-point cushion tonight. I personally think, without sort of tempting fate for you, that you'll comfortably make the top six in fifth position. What's been different from this year or last year that means that, you know, you're not going to have a narrow miss? You're going to likely, what looks like at the moment, be in the playoffs come the end of the season.
A few things. I mean, the single most significant thing is Carlos Corberan for 46 games, not for 20 odd, which it was last season. That makes a huge difference, because the reality is, okay, we didn't finish last season brilliantly, but if you extrapolated Carlos Corberan, our form under Carlos Corberan across a whole season, as opposed to from the 1st of November, which is what it was, then we comfortably would have made the playoffs anyway. We were good enough under Corberan last season to make the playoffs. It's just that Steve Bruce absolutely butchered us in the early part of the season. I mean, we were bottom when Corberan took over. So that's the difference. That's primarily the difference. It's Corberan for 12 months, not having to put up with 3 months of Steve Bruce. But I think the other thing is Corberan did make some mistakes towards the end of last season. For example, Matt Phillips, who'd been a massively important player, he threw him on at 3-0 up in a FA Cup third round replay against Chesterfield, and Phillips pulled up and went off, and that was his season done. And he just and everybody said it. Why even throw Matt Phillips, who has a massive history of injuries, on in a cold January midweek game, where you're already 3-0 up anyway? And he just hasn't done stuff like that. He ended the season last season with Jason Malumbi and Okoye Koslu playing with pain-killing injections because he just needed to get so much football out of them. He's utilised his squad so much better this year. He's brought players off when he needs to. We have still had a lot of injuries, not all of them caused by Dan Ballard, but some. We have had a lot of injuries, but nonetheless, he's managed to rotate his squad a lot better. We did much better January business this year as well. Bringing in Mikey Johnston was absolutely massive. Tom Fellows coming through via the academy has been absolutely huge for us as well. Whereas last January, Mark Albrighton didn't work at all, and Chalobah was a bit part player. So and Mvia, for all his kung fu kicks at Stoke, has looked pretty useful as well, and it's suddenly an option to rotate your Koslu that we've never had before.
I absolutely fucking love Jan Mvia, and I just wanted to point that out.
He was at you, wasn't he?
We had him on loan, so the big drama with Jan, which a lot of Sunderland fans will know, but we had him on loan for a season. He was amazing, loved him, one of the best midfielders we've had in the past 10, 15 years, right in his pomp. Got sent off on his debut for the reserves for elbowing someone, a headbutting someone, actually, I tell a lie. So he has got that in him. but brilliant for us. Played a really big vital part in one of our many great escapes under Sam Allardyce. And then he begged to come back, even on Instagram, begged to come back via Instagram stories. And we decided to pay $13.6 million for Didier and Dom and get relegated. So, yeah.
Wow.
We would have liked him back. But I'm looking at the playoffs from last season, and no disrespect to the, you know, Luton, who I think are actually competing pretty well in the Premier League, and no disrespect to what I thought was a very good Sunderland side last year and a very good Coventry side. But the playoffs are inherently a little bit easier, I think, last year than they were this. They are going to be this year. Southampton, Leeds, Ipswich, Leicester, Norwich, and Coventry could all be in it, and Hull. You could all face them in the playoffs, which, in my opinion, is one of the most competitive playoffs I've seen in a long, long time. I would say they are the strongest teams in the division. You've always got to go in confidence, but how confident are you that, you know, West Brom could get beyond those teams? Because it's bloody strong, that.
Yeah, it is. And you've got to say, over the last couple of years, the teams that should have had the money to really, really have a run at this division have made an absolute balls up of it. You know, Watford, Norwich, ourselves, when we had parachute payments, you know, there's so many examples of teams that have come down and just made an absolute horlicks of the whole situation. That hasn't been the case this year. You know, okay, Leicester are doing their best to blow up at the line, but in all fairness, they've been there or thereabouts all season. So have Leeds. Southampton, I think it would probably be reasonable to say, are out of the automatic race. But still, there's never really been any debate as to whether, other than the first maybe six games of the season, whether Southampton would be in the playoffs. I think, to be honest, for most of the season, we've all been looking at it and going, the rest of us are playing for fifth and sixth. And you've got to respect that, because that takes a level of consistency. And what I would say is I am quietly confident if we get in there, because we haven't got a bad record against those teams up there. Southampton have beaten us twice, but we've took 4 points off Leeds. We lost to Leicester. We haven't played them at their place yet. But it was a last minute goal when, to be honest, we were going for the winner ourselves and they just broke up field and scored. They didn't exactly dominate us. Ipswich, we've took 4 points off. Norwich, a win and a defeat. If Hull are in there, then we've took 4 points off them. We've actually got a fairly sound record against the teams up there. So I feel okay. But what I would say is, if the team that finishes either fifth or sixth goes on to win the playoffs, it's got to be seen as a heck of an achievement, because over 46 games, the top four have been miles ahead of everybody else. So if you then go into a two-legged playoff and a final at Wembley and turn over, well, if you finish fifth or sixth, you'll need to turn over two of those teams, probably, unless the team below you beats the team at the top in the two-legged playoff. But chances are you'll have to beat two of those teams. If you manage to do that, I think it's a hell of an achievement. I really do.
Stupidity of this season. You were speaking about that then. I'm thinking, yeah, 100% agree with everything you said in the top four. They're far ahead of everyone else in the division, I think. But the really weird thing is, I've just thought about how stupid our season is. We've scored 7 goals against Southampton this season and not conceded one against Leeds. And I have absolutely no idea how that's happened, because they're quite evidently top four in a division of their own in many ways. I suppose on the flip side, you could say we've conceded 4 against Ipswich, but let's not discuss that. We're going to stay positive.
I suppose what's
here.
Nice about them is that they've whilst they've all been very good at points this season, they've also all showed themselves to be quite fallible at times.
Yes, I think so.
I don't think any whilst all of them have had seasons way in excess of anybody else in the division, none of them have looked like Burnley from last year or Fulham when they had Mitrovic up front. You know what I mean? Those kind of teams that are just frighteningly untouchable. And I think that gives the rest of us hope going into what hopefully will be Albion in the playoffs. It's obviously not guaranteed yet, but if it is Albion in the playoffs, it gives you a degree of hope that, yeah, okay, if those teams have their best day, the chances are there's not an awful lot you're going to be able to do about it. But also you go into them thinking, they really don't have their best day all the time by any stretch of the imagination. And I think over the course of three games, you'd probably back them to have an off day somewhere along the line.
I think when you look at it as well, like, touched on us getting a draw leads at the start of the show, Southampton have kind of came back on form a bit, but they've all had, the top three have all had wobbles. It seems to be Ipswich that are completely upsetting the apple cart and deciding they're going to get promoted probably this season. So, but no,
but their games are just mental, aren't they? I mean, I talked about us not having control in games. I mean, they're just chaos theory in effect, aren't they? I mean, they're just they just basically, it's like the best way I can describe them is they're like Keegan's Newcastle in a championship form. You know, there's zero control. There is literally just our attacking talent versus your attacking talent, and we think ours is better. And it's as basic as that. It's brilliant to watch, but it's like I say, we've seen plenty of teams who just go into games and dominate and turn teams over, you know, 3-0, 4-0, or even just win 2-0 and then sit on their 2-goal lead. Ipswich haven't got that. They haven't got that control, which again makes you think, if we get the rub of the green on any particular day against them, it can run in our favour. Look at them against Cardiff the other week. 1-0 up, look like they're cruising to a win. And then they just basically stop defending set pieces for 5 minutes. And that's it. The game's gone.
I quite like them in the sense that, like, I feel like sometimes the world's gone, like, not tactical mad, because you have to be tactically clever, but it's kind of sometimes, it can be like, there's occasional games you'll watch, especially in the Premier League, where it becomes like a game of chess, whereas Ipswich, you just go, right, carnage. Like, from minute one, and it's always good fun. But what it does make me miss, and I don't think we were quite the same level of carnage, but we were fearless in the sense of, was sullen under Tony Mowbray last year. And, you know, we spoke quite a bit about Tony because we were the first game after his tenure had ended and so on and so forth, last show that we were on. But we've got a bit more context as to, you know, him leaving now and where we've been. And look, let's be honest, like, it's gone wrong for Sunderland since Tony Mowbray has departed. I know someone that you really like. We discussed him quite in depth last time. What have you made of Sunderland since Mowbray's gone, from like the outside looking in? And I know you can't make it the same assumptions that maybe a Sunderland fan can, but I know that we're in the news now and again because occasionally we like to just combust.
Yeah. I mean, you're an odd side, aren't you? Because as you say, we spoke before the game at the Stadium of Light, and I touched on it before. I am obviously a little bit bitter about one particular incident in the game where you definitely should have gone down to 10 men, but then equally we should have been a goal down as well because Joe Bellingham's well onside when he scores. I mean, but the reality is, over the 90 minutes, you were comfortably the better team, and I'm not going to sit here and deny that. And I looked at you and I thought, you know, this could really be a team going places. You know, Clark and Roberts were just on it that day. Bellingham caused us a lot of problems as well. You know, you looked a good side, but there just seems to be, it seems like when you expect Sunderland to go and win, they don't, and when you don't expect Sunderland to go and win, they do. I mean, you're just the archetypal coupon buster, aren't you? You know, you're an Acker placer's nightmare. I mean, why anybody doing an Acker would go anywhere near Sunderland is beyond me, because you're just one of the single most unpredictable teams in the league. I think you've got a lot of talent, and I really. But the positive is, when you're like that, it basically means you can go one of two ways. You're only losing a couple of star players away from going horribly wrong, but equally, you're only probably one or two decent signings away from getting it really, really right as well. I think, given that you've got a fairly stable ownership and everything, I think you're probably more likely to go in the positive direction than the negative one, because even if you do end up having to sell somebody like Jack Clark, I don't think you'll sell him on the cheap. And I trust you to probably reinvest the money. I also think they've probably learnt from the Mick Beale debacle and will hopefully get the next appointment right as well.
He's listening, mind, to all of this via his burner account. He'll be listening to all of this.
I have to say, that was absolutely blinding. I was following that. I mean, And honest to God, that was absolutely staggering. I mean, I was listening to Not the Top 20 the other day, and they were talking about an account that was massively talking up Steve Cottrell, who obviously has gone in at Forest Green. And when George Ellick scrolled back on the timeline, it had previously been massively bigging up Shrewsbury. And it just reminded me of the whole McBeal thing.
Oh
and
no.
yeah, I just, I, yeah, that was weird. He was clearly a bad appointment. And I think I do, from the outside looking in, it looks like your owner really needs to start making decisions for the betterment of the football club, not for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think there's an element of, I'm the owner, I know best, I'm going to flex my ego. And having worked at football clubs and with managers, a lot of the best managers can be quite difficult personalities, can very strongly know their own mind. I know for a fact Carlos Corbrand's like that. Carlos Corbrand is a man who knows his own mind, and if he had an owner coming in and telling him the footballing direction of the club, Corbrand wouldn't be there very much longer. I mean, it's from the sounds of it, it's one of the reasons he walked away from Huddersfield. So you're just not going to get you're not going to get the best managers if you do that. You need to pick the manager that fits what you want to do, but you don't pick a puppet. You just pick a guy who is strong, but will work in the direction that you want him to. And if that means bringing in younger players, then, you know, I mean, look, people have made plenty of successful appointments from the guys who've previously worked under Dan Ashworth through the England youth teams. You know, you maybe look at that pool of coaches and say, is there somebody there that we can pick up? But you don't pick up a puppet. And I feel like, as I say, I haven't got a lot of knowledge on it. I'm looking at your owner from the
you've
outside looking
it,
in. But
to be fair, you've nailed, yeah. In my opinion, I'm sure everyone has their own opinion, but I agree. I think a lot of the time, the problem Sunderland have is that any manager you bring in is free. So the manager that you bring in being free is wanting a job, which means they are conformist, which means they're not going to challenge the beliefs of an owner who believes that his way is the only way, and a sporting director that believes his way is the only way. And, well, there's been mistakes made this season that should be learned from, but if you've got nobody challenging it, then they're all pretty much kissing each other's backsides, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's not how you develop things going forward,
no.
Either, is it? You know, you need that area where you challenge each other anyway. If everybody just blows smoke up each other's backsides, then it doesn't get you anywhere, because when things start going wrong, then you start going, well, can't be me, boss. You know, we're doing things perfectly. We've always said we're doing things perfectly. I think. As I say, I worked at the Albion for 8 years, and I think my count was seven managers by the end, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I saw plenty of conflict inside those four walls, but I saw conflict when things were going well on the pitch. You know, just because people are butting heads, it doesn't as long as they can find a resolution to that, as long as that it's not the irresistible force meets the immovable object, then you're screwed. Somebody's got to give something at some point, and they've got to meet somewhere in the middle. But a bit of conflict actually is positive. I've seen meetings turn into full blown arguments, but the important thing is that they get resolved somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I think 100%. I want to add more to it, but I think there's no fucking point in me trying to do that because I just agree. Two more questions for you.
Go for it.
I think you always want to play, if you're going for playoffs, if you're trying to stay up, if you're trying to win a league, you want to play the team that's 12th, 13th and 14th in the league. That's just what you want, because the cliche is they're on the beach. I wouldn't say we're on the beach, put in some good work last night, but we also got beat 5-1 off Blackburn the other week. We also haven't won many games, I think 1-11. How are West Brom fans feeling about Sunderland? Because, like you say, we're a bit of a coupon buster. We could lose 5-1 on Saturday. We could win 5-1. I don't know what Sunderland are at the minute or what mood they're in.
I think part of that depends on what happens tonight. I think if we win tonight, we all feel a little bit more comfortable, because I think if we win tonight, we will look at it and go, Sunderland at home, Sunderland and Preston at home, Leicester and Sheffield Wednesday away. We probably only need one more win from those four games to do it, which means drawing with you or losing to you would not be the end of the world. I think if we fail to win tonight, I think if we fail to win tonight, I think there's a good chance you'll go and do something on Saturday, because the atmosphere will be so tense, you'll be able to cut it with a knife. And the first time we give you a shot on goal, there will be the tension will pour out from the fans, I know what you're saying about you want to play that team that's sort of mid table, but then we did that on the final day of last season and got beat 3-2 at Swansea. I don't know. There's something to be said, especially when we're the home team, for you just almost get to sort of stand on that pitch and smile as the fans have a meltdown because of the first pass that goes astray, because the game literally means that much to everybody. And I think teams kind of go, oh, we could have a bit of fun here, and it relaxes everybody, and they almost go and play their part in that. I've worked with enough professional footballers to know that very rarely, I think the on the beach thing is always very harshly used. I've not met the professional footballer who calls it a day the second there's nothing left to play for in a season, because there's always something left to play for, whether it's a new contract, whether it's whether it's a transfer, whether it's, I mean, you haven't got a manager at the moment. You know, they've got to convince whoever's coming in that these people are worthy of wearing the shirt next season. I don't see for one second yourselves or, I mean, you and Rotherham are the only two teams at the moment that we've got nothing to play for, although Preston may well have nothing to play for by the time we play them. But I don't see any of those teams just chucking it in, because I just don't think professional footballers are like that. I really don't. I think maybe you might occasionally see that a little bit if they're going away to a major tournament, and you know, there's a 50-50 ball in the last minute of the last game, and it's like, if I go in for this, am I going to a major tournament? I can see how you'd pull out of that. But generally speaking, I don't think they're like that. So I expect you to show up and give it your all. And I think if we win tonight, I think the atmosphere will be a lot more relaxed, and we'll probably go into the game a lot more comfortable. And I think we'll play our game, and when we play our game, that always gives us a fairly good chance of winning any football match, because we're tactically astute and we are generally solid at the back. Where we struggle is when games turn into chaos. Watford turned it into chaos the other week and went 2-0 up against us. Stoke turned it into chaos at the weekend, and it came back from 2-0 down, didn't deserve to be 2-0 down in the first place. And I think if we don't win tonight, I think the first chance on goal for you, or even if you score early, or even possibly the first misplaced pass, could turn into a lot of tension from the crowd, and it could turn into a bit of a chaotic afternoon, which is frankly the last thing that we want.
Bring me on to predictions for final question. I don't think I've done this all season. I'm prepared to be told I'm wrong, but we seem to absolutely love a 0-0 draw at the minute. So I think the opposite's going to happen, and I'm going to go for 3-3. I'm going to go for chaos. I'm going to buy into the chaos, but I think it'll be a 3-3 draw where we're pissed off because Jan scored one, which is naturally going to happen. We'll probably go 2-0 up. You'll fly back and have this 3-2 with a couple of minutes to go. Then we'll score a daft late equaliser, and everyone's just going to be pissed off and going to be total chaos. I think it's been too calm the past few games, so I'm going to say 3-3.
Well, I will go for 2-1 to the Albion. However, what I would request is that if we don't take 3 points against Rotherham, that you reverse that score and turn my prediction into 2-1 to Sunderland, because I really do think I think tonight has so much bearing on how Saturday goes. So for the moment, I'm going to call it 2-1 to the Albion based on us beating Rotherham. But if that doesn't come to pass, I'm flipping it and saying 2-1 Sunderland.
Be a football fan. Why do we bother? Just stress, isn't it? Just
It is, isn't
stress.
it?
Chris, thanks as always for joining me, mate. I normally say Nordic on the weekend, but yeah, you know what? Whatever. Four games to go. It doesn't fucking matter, does it? So do what you want. Have fun.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for that. And look, genuinely, you know, good luck to Sunderland going forward, because it's a good club. It's a great city, and it's a great fan base as well. So, you know, obviously I hope you get absolutely paddled at the weekend, but beyond that, I really do hope you get back to your best, because your fans don't deserve the mess that they've had to put up with this season.
The bollocks.
Yeah.
Chris, thanks as always, mate. Cheers.
My pleasure.